The Lone Ranger. A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo silver. The Lone Ranger.
You and your men are to be congratulated, Sheriff.
Thanks. But if it hadn't been for you, we'd have gotten nowhere. I'll be with you in just a minute. I'll take care of this one personally. Come on.
Easy, Silver.
Now, Cavendish can't catch it, Kimasabi. You take off, Matt?
I'm going to continue to wear the mask and keep my identity a secret.
For how long?
Our job has just begun. We have a lot of trails to follow.
Sheriff, before the lockup, do you mind telling me who the masked man is?
Wouldn't mind at all, except that... Hey, where'd the masked man go?
He and his Indian pal are going out to get the horses, Sheriff.
Well, I guess he isn't one to stick around for a party.
Well, who is he?
I don't rightly know his real name, but I've heard him called the Lone Ranger.
You can tell I'm wearing a mask. How many remember the Lone Ranger television series back in the 50s and 60s? Now, be careful. You're going to tell at your age if you're... The clip I showed you, it must be going to be a good series or a good lesson today, because when these things happen, it's when something you need to hear that's trying to distract us. So we're just going to push on through. The clip I showed you, Tonto asked the Lone Ranger, said, Kimasabi, now that we've captured the bad guys, are you going to take your mask off? And, of course, the Lone Ranger said, no, Tonto, I'm going to continue to wear my mask to conceal my identity, keep it a secret. Tonto asked, well, how long are you going to wear it? The Lone Ranger said, well, we have many trails to go down. And you know where I'm going with this, right? We put on our mask and we end up going down all the trails of our lives masked. This is the sad part. I want to ask you a question here. What is it that he could do with the mask that he could not have done without the mask? Could he still have arrested the guys, the bad guys, and put them in jail and all that? Is there anything he could have done without the mask that he did with the mask? Yeah, that's what it did. It was the obvious reason there is to hide his identity, to conceal his identity. But, I was thinking about that. So here comes this guy. He rides into town, and he's on this big white stallion, and he's riding with this Indian guy on this beautiful pinto pony, and he's wearing this white outfit, 2 6 guns, and a mask. And he's incognito, right? Nobody pays any attention to him. And I think that's what we do a lot of times. We go through life and we wear our mask and we put on our little outfits and we ride around and thinking nobody notices that we're masked. Now, just real fast about the Lone Ranger. I don't know if you know the storyline or if you've forgotten it. I kind of forgot it and had to do some research to catch myself back up on it. But he was a Texas Ranger, and he, along with some other Rangers, were ambushed. You're wondering how long I'm going to wear this, right? He, along with some other Rangers, were ambushed, and all of them were killed except for one, and it was the Lone Ranger. And Tonto found him, nursed him back to life. Well, let me say it another way. Nursed him back to health, perhaps not real life, but nursed him back. And it was during this time of him being nursed back that he put on the mask. The wound is what I want you to hear, is the wound forced him to put on the mask. And then, of course, for the rest of his days, for the rest of the series, he wore the mask. And in every series, just about from that time on, somebody would always ask, who is that masked man? Right? And so that's what I'm talking about today, is who is that masked man? We go through life and we never realize what it's doing to us, the wounds and the scars from the past, how they alter our identity, force us to put on masks in life, never realizing, first of all, they stop our healing, the masks do, and secondly of all, is they separate us from God. And this is what I'm really wanting us to get a hold of today and get the idea of it. See, all of us have experienced wounded hearts. Every single one of us, that you can't go through life. It's unavoidable in life. You're going to have wounded hearts. And some of those wounds that we've experienced in life were forced on us by situations from others. Some of those wounds in life were actually ambushes of the devil, and he forced you to put the mask on. And some of those wounds in life were actually caused by ourselves. We did something dumb. We did sin. We did something, made bad decisions, and we hurt our own selves. But at any rate, we still put on the mask. But no matter how the mask gets on, no matter how it happens, we are incapable in and of ourselves to heal ourselves. And unless we let Jesus heal us, we're going to go through all the trails of our lives as somebody we're not. Now, this is what I really want us to get today, because we don't realize what an effect, a horrible effect that has on each of our lives. Now, we've all experienced this, but you were created to be a reflected image of God. This is how God created you. But through the wounds of life, we lose our joy. We lose our happiness. We lose our sometimes spirituality. We lose the good things, the excitement of life. We lose our peace. And you see, we end up living a shell of a life and not the life that was created for us because of the wounds of the past, which cause us to put on the mask. Now, this is not God's intent for you. God's intention for you is to have a great life, to have a life that masters your world, masters what you are about, and be who you are. Now, let me read this to you. It's in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26, and it says, then God said, let us make people in our image to be like ourselves. Now notice the plurality there. That's the Trinity. You're supposed to be like the Father, be like the Son, and be like the Holy Spirit. And he goes on and he says, they will be masters over all life. You'll be what? Masters of life. Not enslaved to, but masters of all life. The fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock and wild animals and small animals. So, here's what God did to give you this ability to be masters of your life. So, God created people in His own image. You're created, not just Adam and Eve, people. You're created to be a reflected image of God. In His own image, God patterned them after Himself. Male and female created them. God blessed them and told them, multiply, fill the earth, be full, have a full life, and multiply. And have just this wonderful experience in life. This is the way it was created to be. So you are the created image of God if you're not masked. You say you're created to be the reflected image of God, but you can't be if you're wearing a mask. What you'll be reflecting is not the image of God, but the image of the mask, who you were not created to be like. Now, I want to make sure I go ahead and say this. See, I am so convinced that some of us never experience all that God has for us, the abundant life that we're supposed to have, this life that we're created to experience, simply because we're not who we were created to be. We've got so many masks because of so many wounds that we've never been healed of. We don't even know who we are. And people tell me, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what my purpose in life is. Well, could it be that you have so altered your life or allowed the mask to so alter you and change your identity that not even God knows who you are? I'm going to show you in a second. This is what it does. It separates us and hides us from God. Now, this is what I want us to see. See, you are the crown creation of your world. This is what you're created to do. But that's only true if you are who you were created to be. You're the crown creation of your world, not the masked person that you've become. You're supposed to be blessed and have this full life. You are. But you can't experience it if you've become something that you weren't created to be. I want us to get this. See, the serpent finds a way to ambush us, just like the Lone Ranger. And he does it to us, and we do like him. We become an alone ranger. We become alone. We separate ourselves from people because we don't want them to hurt us. We separate ourselves from God because we've become something that we weren't created to be. And the serpent does this through wounds. He causes a separation from God. He wants to destroy you. You understand that. Not necessarily kill you. I think we get that confused. Destroy you by doing this, by separating you from God. You cannot live the best life separated from God. And so what he uses to do this is he ambushes us. He failed relationships, soured relationships, bad experiences, sin, disappointments, those kinds of things cause us to separate from God and causes us to put on a mask. Now, we see this principle. We see this principle with Adam and Eve in the garden. You all remember the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. They're in the garden, you know, and God created this wonderful life for them and told them to go into it and do anything they wanted to do in here. It's all yours. Do anything, have anything, eat anything you want to eat except don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what happened. The serpent comes in and he ambushes them, just like the Lone Ranger. He ambushed them. And you know how the story goes. It was a very negative experience for them. You know, Eve blames the devil. It was the serpent's fault. And Adam blames Eve, right? Adam says, it's this woman you gave me. That's the problem. And the poor devil, he's got nobody to blame. You know, it's just... And this is this very negative experience that they have right after they've done this. And I want you to see immediately what happens. Now watch. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, it says this. At that moment. When? At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame. Shame of what? Shame of their nakedness. Or we could say it another way that's better for us. Shame of their vulnerability. See, when we suffer these negative experiences in life, it shows us our vulnerability. And there's a shame that's usually attached with it. They felt shame at their nakedness. So they, here's what they did because of the shame they were experiencing, because of the negative experience. So they strung fig leaves together around their hips to do what? To cover or to mask themselves. Toward evening, now watch this. Toward evening, they heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they what? Hid themselves from whom? From whom? From God. From the Lord. Not from the serpent. Or not from anything else in the garden. The wound forced them to put on a mask, to put on a covering. And then forced them to hide from God in their fig leaves. Hid themselves among the trees. The Lord God called Adam. What did he say? Where are you? Where are you? You've changed your identity. Where are you? And I'm persuaded that the Lord is doing that to so many of us today. Where are you? In fact, who are you? And this is what we experience. It's amazing to me how quickly we do this. You see, when we experience a negative experience in life, we become vulnerable. We realize, hey, I was vulnerable here. I shouldn't have been. I did wrong. I shouldn't have let this happen to me. I shouldn't have felt this. I shouldn't have done this. And so we become vulnerable. And we see our shame. And so we immediately attempt to cover it. And we go through life with a veiled personality. We go through life as a lone ranger. It not only does it prevent your healing, but it also alters and distorts your identity. Because no longer are you reflecting who you were created to reflect. You're reflecting the mask in which you wear. And life becomes worse because of the mask. We wear a mask of self-confidence. We put on the mask of self-confidence. Inside we're ripped apart, but outwardly we're confident. Oh, I'm fine. We wear the mask of peace or joy. We laugh. And inside we're weeping and crying. We put on the mask of spirituality. Oh, hallelujah, praise be to Jesus. And inside we're falling apart. And we put on these masks, and we go through life veiled, not realizing that we're really hiding from God. Hiding from God. It prevents our healing. And here's the bad thing is we lose our garden. We lose our garden. Adam and Eve lost their garden. We wear the mask of self-confidence and all of these things. And we lost our identity, you see. We end up losing our very identity of who we were created to be. We look in the mirror, you know. And if I looked in the mirror now, what would I see? Is my real appearance obscured? Yeah. And so when we put on a mask, we look in the mirror, and this person in the mirror that we used to know has now been obscured. And we wear them so well sometimes, the mask, that even the closest people to us, our husbands, our wives, our children, they lose touch with us. We wear those masks. And then finally, you know what we finally do? We take on the identity of the Lone Ranger. We take on the identity of the mask and not the identity of God. We take on the identity of what we've become and not what we were created to be. We all wear masks of one kind or another. I believe that we agree with that. Let me give you an example of how it tremendously and tragically affects us. In all of my years of ministry, I've had to deal with this on numbers of occasions. Divorce. Divorce is a trauma. It's a horrible thing. A person will suffer divorce, and it's been called to be death. It's got to be one of the worst experiences an individual can go through. The person will go through divorce, and it is a death. It's a death of a very one-time wonderful relationship. It's a death of a relationship that at one time you cherished. It's the death of a family unit. It's a horrible thing. It's a death. It's a potential death to your emotions. And some people never, ever recover from it. They just kind of put on the mask and learn how to cope. And what's so bad, you see, is they begin to, while they're putting on the mask, and it forces us to do this. This is kind of the natural thing to do, is put on the mask. And it forces us to do things. It forces us to build up hate and bitterness. And in most situations, there's this bitterness between these two people that once loved each other, and this bitterness turns to anger, and it festers within the wound itself and causes more scarring and a worse wound. And this is the situation in every area of unforgiveness. No, I'm just using divorce as an example, but in every area of unforgiveness, it's like tying yourself to that person you hate or won't forgive, like with a rope. And that person that you are bitter with or hate now drags you around through life. You're always connected with that person. You don't want to be, because you see, your hate or your bitterness toward that person affects the other person not one way or the other. But it's tremendously affecting you. And you've got every right to be angry when you're hurt and wounded. You've got every right. But when the anger turns to sin, which is Ephesians 4 tells us not to let happen, be ye angry but sin not. When we allow the sin, the anger to become sin, now we've got a problem. And now we've got this thing working inside of us, separating us from God. And we let it fester. And we see, you got right to be angry, but who you really need to be angry with is at yourself for letting that other person, that ex or whomever, control your life. And until you're truly healed, you see, you'll go through the rest of your trails of life as the lone or the alone ranger, masked, not being who you were created to be. And there's, you know, and these people that experience divorce and or any, I'm just using it as an example, they put on masks. And one mask that these people will put on is the mask of relational indiscretion. They have multi-relations after a divorce. They become promiscuous and become extremely sexual. And what they're attempting to do is prove to themselves and to others that they're still desirable. Or they do the opposite thing, which is a relational shutdown. They won't let anybody in. I don't care who you are. They won't let anybody in. They relationally shut down. and they immerse themselves into work or school or activities. And there's nothing wrong with relations, and there's nothing wrong with work or school or activities unless they become fig trees, fig leaves. And some of us put on fig trees, you know. Unless they become fig leaves. Now, if they become fig leaves, what we're doing now is hiding from God. And we're not dealing with our shame. We're not dealing with the hurts and the wounds, and we'll never be healed. And we'll be drugged through life with this bitterness and with this problem, this unresolved situation in our life, controlling us, never being who God created us to be. You know, we're all very, very aware of our own unflattering character traits. We all have them. And maybe I can explain it better to you this way, because we also all have some unflattering physical traits, right? And we're very aware of them. And we don't do things that accent our negative physical traits. If we're heavy and we have a big belly, usually people will wear loose garments to sort of what? Not accentuate the big belly or the big hips. We take makeup and we put on our blemishes. We cover up scars. I have a scar on my neck right here. I had a literal experience. I run in with a barbed wire fence, and it won. And now at my age, this is the first part of me that's beginning to wrinkle. I don't like the wrinkles, and it's wrinkling. And I don't like looking at it, and I don't want you looking at it. And so what I do, especially on Sundays, or when I'm making videos or going someplace, I'll wear something that kind of is a high neck to not let you see this blemish, this scar in my life. And we do this. You see, this is how we go through life. We go through life wanting people not to just accept, you know, our unacceptable traits. We want them to love them as part of us. But when they don't, it fractures us further, causes us to tighten up the mask, put on more mask. And then the thing even gets worse. And every wound and every scar and every bad negative experience has an effect on us. And as we saw last week, it affects everything. Now, the sad part here, are you able to concentrate? Have you got past the mass part yet? Are you okay with me now? I have a place where I'll take it off. But right now, I really want it to do its work. Sadly, religious people, churchy people, are the worst at wearing masks. I don't know if you knew that or not. But we're the worst. We wear the thickest and the most. Jesus, it's always been this way. Jesus called them hypocrites, right? And let me show you what the word hypocrite means. Who is that masked man? The word hypocrite means an actor under an assumed character, a stage player. Now, what they would do is they would do this little stage act, and they would wear a mask, and they would portray a particular character in a specific scene. And then when the scene ended, they would go get another mask. The same person would put on a different mask, but play and portray a different character. And so what Jesus is addressing here is that when we do this in life, we're really not who we are. We're portraying something that we're not. And so he says here to the masses. Now here, the scripture I'm about to read to you is not only given to the Pharisees. This is given to the masses. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to the mass of people here. It's in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 5, and it says this: "You hypocrite, first take the plank or the mask off, take it out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the mask or the speck from your brother's eye." Now I want you to get what he's saying here. I have a plank or a mask, and you have a plank or a mask. And what he's saying here is not try to help people and not try to minister to people. But what he's saying is, look, you've got faults too. And you've got masks too. Deal with your stuff so that you can help somebody else deal with theirs. And we really can't help people as long as we've got a bunch of masks on. And the more masks or the more planks we get out of our eyes, the more we're capable of helping someone else. And again, I want us to make sure I get my point across here. My point is not just you got stuff. That's not my point. My point is this, is that we don't like to think of ourselves as being a hypocrite. But if we all agree that at some point in some place in life we've masked up, we've gotten fig leaves, if we admit that, then at some point we have been a hypocrite at some level or the other. Have you ever caught yourself with a mask? Have you ever realized that, wow, I've become something I'm not? I have. I know that it was true. I didn't intentionally do it. That wasn't my intention. But the wound or the hurt or the sin or the shame or whatever caused me to mask up. And so what I thought, said to myself, is that, well, you know what, I can put on my mask and maybe I can get through this thing, and then I'll just wear it until I get through it, and then I'll take it off. That was the Lone Ranger's intention. He didn't intend to wear it forever, but he intended eventually went through life with it. And that's what we all do. We mask up and we go through life wearing the mask, never realizing what it's actually done is not just mask us, but separate us from God. Where are you? Who are you? This is one of the reasons that we really need to love God. That people love God so much because He knows about the mask, but He also sees all of our traits, our blemishes. He sees all of our unflattering aspects of our lives, and yet He still loves us, just like we are, with all the sin, with all the blemish, with all the junk, with all the planks. He still loves us. In fact, He loves you so much that that's why He sent Jesus, is so that you could be healed from these things and get back your identity. Be healed from them to a point that you can come back to who you were created to be. Now, let me read you this. It's in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus here speaking, He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me." He's given me this special ability, something that nobody else is anointed to do, but I'm anointed to do this. I and I alone can do this. I'm anointed. He has anointed me to preach, to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to. Would you say He sent me to back to me? He sent me to. Now, would you make that personal? And He said He has sent Him to me. Would you say that? He has sent Him to me. Why? Why? What does the verse say? To heal brokenhearted. What in your life has broken, given you a broken heart? Something has. It happens to all of us. And what Jesus wants to do is not just heal it, but heal it without scars. He says He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Now watch this. To set at liberty them that are bruised. What happens when we're bruised and wounded and mess up in life and have negative experiences, what these things do to us is they put us in bondage, in a captivity. Like I mentioned a while ago with the person who is divorced, who is forever tied to that ex because of the feelings and the emotions and never being totally healed from that situation, we become in bondage to it. We're roped to it. It's like tying a rope forever and letting them drag you through life. And so these things drag us through life. We become in bondage to them. We become bound by them. Is that what that verse said now? Is that what it says? Is that Jesus was sent to take care of us in this capacity? Am I right? Is that what it says? Yes, it is. It's exactly what it says. He sent us to do this. But how does this work out in real time? How does this really work in your life? I used the example last week of the three Hebrew children. Remember that one? Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they would not bow to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And so He had them bound, He had them tied up, and He had them thrown into the fiery furnace, the hottest thing, the hottest experience that He could give them, something meant to destroy them. And He had them thrown into there, but you remember how the story comes out. They are delivered out of that, without even the smell of smoke on them. The only thing that was burned off of them were the things that had them bound. And they came out without a hair singed, without any harm whatsoever. You see, this is what God wants to do for us. In the fiery furnaces of our life, He wants to show up in there with you. Let me read this to you. It's in Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished." and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men, what? Loose. Everybody say loose. See, four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. Loose. And they have what? No hurt. No hurt. No emotional hurt. No physical hurt. Not a hair was singed. Not a scar on them or in them. They have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like what? Son of God. Here's what I want us to see. Here's what I want us to get. I want us to realize that if we will allow the Son of God, Jesus, to come into the midst of our fiery furnaces of life, our bad experiences of life, what will happen to us is that we can take the mask off. I don't know if you're clapping because that's just good or you're glad that I took the mask off. But He will come in and He will help us take that mask off. He will heal us with no hurt. You get your identity back and you get to do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Live a full life, a whole life, a life full of productivity, living for the very purpose they were created to do. That's what God wants to do for each and every one of us. But what we've got to do is allow that fourth man that was with them to become into us and to begin to do what he and he alone can do. You are incapable of doing it on your own. He is anointed, and only Him, to help you take your mask off. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love for us. And I ask you, Lord God, now in Jesus' name, as we've recognized and identified this, Lord, I pray that each of us will come to a place where we let you in to the fiery parts of our lives, the festered parts, the parts of us that cause the temperature. I pray you come in, Lord, and help and heal each one of us. Heads bowed now and eyes closed. I want to talk to you for a few minutes. How many of you remember, you don't have to answer, just reminisce. How many of you remember how it felt that day when you asked Jesus to come into your heart and into your life and you received Him as your Lord and as your Savior? You remember how good that felt? You remember how it worked? You know, you said something to yourself along these lines. You said, I'm going to try this Jesus thing. I'm going to try this church thing. I want something more in my life. I want to be healed. I want to be whole. And I'm going to let Him come into my life. And so you receive the forgiveness. And you confessed your sins. And you felt good. It was you felt free. You felt clean. All that toxic stuff that had built up in there was just gone. And it was that you felt it and it was gone. And man, it was great. You remember that? Well, it's similar to that is what you got to do here. This is what we're after. You see, to get that mask off, here's what you got to do. You got to ask Jesus to come in. And you got to confess, I'm wearing a mask. You got to say, this hurt me, Lord. This really injured me. And it's caused some mask in my life. I'm confessing to you that I am not who I was created to be. This altered me. And I want to be healed. I want to be who you created me to be. I want to be healed. That's the first thing you do, is recognize that you need Him in your life in this capacity. But then secondly of all, you've got to confess to Him. Like you did with your sin when you confessed it. Somewhere in the privacy, when you received Him as your Lord and your Savior, somewhere in the privacy of your own thoughts, you confess to Him your faults. In the privacy of your own thoughts, I don't think you need to do it in public, but in the privacy, you just say, hey, look, I confess to you. And you say, confess. Confess what? Ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. I didn't do it. They did it to me. Well, maybe you haven't forgiven that person. You need to ask forgiveness for not forgiving. Now, maybe you have forgiven. But during the time that you were wearing that mask, what was going on inside of you? During the time that you were waiting. See, one of the reasons that the Lone Ranger wore that mask and you need it is so he could get revenge. And you wear the mask and you don't intentionally wear it all the rest of your life, but you wear it hoping and wanting revenge. What did you say negatively about that person or those people or that situation? What did you think? What negative thoughts did you have? See, all of that added poison to your system and caused that wound to scar. Confess it. And if you'll do that, first of all, acknowledge that it's there. Secondly of all, confess to Him that it's wounded you and hurt you, and then come to the place where you ask forgiveness for allowing it to do what it's done to you. God will help you remove the mask, and He will restore to you your identity. And you can be who God created you to be. Now, how many of us here today want your identity back? You want to be who God created you to be, not what the mask created you to be. You want to look in the mirror and see who you really are, not who you have become. You want to experience the full life, have your garden, be the masters of your world. If that's you, would you, along with me, raise your hand right where you're sitting and let's a lot of us pray together. I see hands everywhere. Yes, that's most of us. Father, thank you. Thank you that you've showed us to us and that we really want you to come into our lives, Lord. Come into our lives. We confess to you that this thing wounded me. It had a drastic effect on me and it's caused me to put on masks and become something I was not created to be. I want to be who you created me to be, Lord. And I ask you now to heal me. I ask forgiveness for the thoughts I've had. I ask forgiveness for the bitterness I've felt. I ask forgiveness for the things that I may have done. And I ask you to forgive me and to heal me. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, head's still bowed and eyes still closed. Now, some of you have gotten away from the Lord. Or some of you have maybe never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And let me tell you why. The reason you haven't is because you're hiding from God. And the reason we hide from God is because something wounded us. And we put on the mask. And what God is saying to you today is, where are you? Where are you? I'm hunting you. I want to talk to you. I want to heal you. I want to come into your life. And I want you to allow me to give you your identity back so that you can be the crown of your creation. And you can have the life that I want you to have.
Together, we can change the